to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance. I am Candace Williams, and we are in our third episode of our Rural Root series. Today, we're joined by Coach Johnny Lomack. Hi, Johnny.
Hello, hello. How everybody doing?
How are you today?
Doing just fine. Excited to be on the podcast. Ready to talk about some things we can do in the community.
Thank you for joining us. So we want to start out with just getting to know you, Coach Lomack, the community that you're from. One special thing you want people not from there to know about it. And then just let us know a little bit about Coach Lomack and what he does.
I'm a hardworking man. I'm also a student athlete mentor. I mentor young men and ladies, between 12th grade and their sophomore year in college, try to, bridge that gap. I actually really mentor junior high kids as well. Like, I go all the way down to like 8 years old. Just try to keep them on the right track. Just try to guide them and see what they're good at and help them focus on that, no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be basketball, but as far as I go, man, my whole life been revolved around basketball. Obviously, everybody know I played for Elaine High School, played some college basketball, Arkansas Baptist College. Did a lot of coaching. Been coaching since 2008. I've coached junior high school, semi-pro. Haven't really coached any college, but I've trained a lot of collegiate athletes. Let's see, just to give you a rundown, I think I've been doing this for about 13, 14 years.
Wow.
Just involved in basketball, involved in having youth programs and AAU programs, anything involving service and help inside of not just my own community, but pretty much everywhere I've lived since high school. I probably either started a program, a youth program, or some kind of basketball team. So it's just a passion of mine. That's who Coach Lomack is. That's who Johnny Lomack is. I'm also a member of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Learned a lot of things through joining a brotherhood, a fraternity. Some things that I can pass down to the youth in my community. I can run into just a young man, a young lady out here on the streets. If there's any way I can help them, I'm gonna help them. Learning from my experiences and the things I've been through. Just putting my best foot forward and making sure that they don't make the same mistakes. Especially the young athletes. That was my world. I made the mistakes that you can make in that. It's a pleasure of mine to be able to see a young man that really got talent, just no direction, and add that direction to them. Looking at the bigger picture, knowing that having them in this gym or just keeping them busy, that outweighs anything that the streets can offer them. And that's no knock against nothing or anything, but it's obvious,
Yeah.
And as leaders, because a lot of people my age, not all, but a lot of them don't clearly see that. Just like we were led by our elders when we were kids, we are now those people. We are now
the leaders. That's it.
It's time for us to step up now. And it's not going to be easy, but we have to kind of kick this door down that's really stopping the kids, especially in our community in Ealing, from being able to have access to all these other resources that these other kids their age got. They just live in a different state or town or something. You know what I mean? So, and we have the resources. We have the resources for that. Mm-hmm. We just have to put them to use. Mm-hmm. We have the kids there. The program we had this summer, Delta King, I mean, we had a total of, I think it was like 44 kids that signed up for the program. And on average, we would have anywhere from 25 to 30, 31 sometime, 32 sometime kids that showed up consistently for practices and training sessions and games. And, like, they need that. They need that there.
That speaks volumes. That'll take what you offer to them.
That'll take them so far. And now they have this internet age where, you know, by us being so far down in the South, so deep down in the Delta, that, you know, they get looked over so much. I mean, you have internet now. You have all kind of recruiting tools now. You have all kind of things that's to your advantage. It's my job, it's other coaches' jobs in the area to set these young men and these young ladies down that's really good and really talented. Like, it's for years, we've had so much talent come through here. But it's just, you know, we get lucky. But we've had so much talent. Just
out
raw,
of Elaine,
natural
Arkansas.
Talent.
Yep.
Right out of Elaine that you know, just never. And you can't just blame it on them because I grew up with a lot of them. We didn't have it. What I'm trying to do here, we didn't have that. We didn't have people trying to get us together on our downtime to make us better.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that. So on our downtime, we were getting into anything. And now these days, with these kids' downtime, they're getting into anything can easily get them into trouble.
Yeah. Yep.
Way quicker than it could in our day.
Yep. So I want you to, I think everybody knows now that you are from the community, the area of Elaine, Arkansas. And this summer, as you were speaking about, you were able to start an AAU team for young men and women in the community. And that's something that they have not had in the community of Elaine. So it's definitely something that's needed, especially being in a community without a local school. But I want you to talk about what was the thing that made you say, okay, I need to bring my passion for basketball and the youth back to my hometown. What was that one thing that made you say, okay, it's the time is now?
Well, man, when I moved back home in 2019, my first, I think it was that first weekend, I had been here a week, and it was a 16-year-old and like an 18, 19-year-old boy got shot and killed. And my aunt heard about it, and she was telling me about it, and, you know, I'm from Elaine, but I haven't been home in so long. And I came back in 2019, West Elton, Arkansas. And, like, just in a week, like, two young boys just lost their life like that. I didn't know them. I don't know them personally, but it's just the fact. It's just, man, these two young black boys, they just out here. And it just struck a nerve. And I started Delta Storm, man, like in 2007, 2008. Started Delta Storm Academy, which was the youth program of it. I started that in like 2013, from 2013 to 2017. So I had experience in that, and I seen how successful it could be. And I said, you know what? why don't I bring my experience here to my area where I'm from for our boys? Like, basketball is not a cure-all, but I've seen it work. I've seen it take guys, if they wouldn't have chose not to play ball, they probably been dead in jail.
Yep.
But they chose that path, and now I know six guys right now that's playing in China, overseas right now. And they're making at least $3 million a year playing basketball. So people say NBA this, that. It's not that. It's like, okay, can you take this 13, this 14, this 15-year-old boy that's at risk out here? Can you take him? You see, he got game. He got talent. You just got to make him listen. Can you get him in the gym and say, okay, man, let's focus on it. Like, 3-4 years, you know, you can change your whole trajectory or your whole life or your whole family.
Yeah.
If you just stick to this right quick. That's my job. That's why I come in.
I love that.
I want to get your attention on this because, like, I know basketball. I played basketball my whole life. It's just in me. So I would hate to see a young man that got the talent, hate seeing it now. And I'm just trying to do my part to, you know, stop that from happening. Like, let's take these little boys from down here, from Elaine, Lakeview, Barton, Marvin, Helen, whatever, our whole little area. Let's take them right here. They say, okay, because these other kids that I see all over the internet every day and these basketball recruiting films, I've seen young men down here that's just as talented as they are.
You're right. You're right.
They just don't have that resource or that person or that those people behind them pushing it. We got to provide that for our guys. Because
yes.
We want to give them the opportunity to go to Duke. We want to give them the opportunity to go to Kentucky. We want to give them the opportunity to say, okay, man, when I graduate, Puma want to sign me to a shoe deal for $1.6 million a year. I'm just 19. We want them to have those opportunities because those are the kind of opportunities out there for them now.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not our guys? So that's I started with me and Coach Williams and some other business partners. We started with Phillips County Kings. We started in Lakeview. It was right before, man, it was right after Kobe died, and it was right before Corona. You know, it was like right there. And everything immediately shut down when that first hit.
Mm.
So, you know, we had them boys in training for like 4 or 5 months. Like, they was ready. You know what I mean? And then Corona just shut everything down. So we were down for about a year.
Yeah.
And then we came back. My brother, Derek Sparks, we got together one night and we was like, man, no, man, we need to do that. And I said, you're right. I said, we need to make that happen for them boys down there. So we, you know, think about with Phillips County Kings, but business wise, we couldn't use Phillips County King anymore. So, like, okay, what can we do? So, you know, we was like, okay, Delta, you had Delta Storm and King. So it was like Delta King. I was like, Delta King, it is. What's the color? And we in Elaine. We in Elaine. So, you know,
take
bro
it
was like, we in Elaine. We in Elaine. So it got to be red and black. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we did.
Yeah.
That's what we did, and you know, we sat down, we got together, and we came up with the plan, and we was like, okay, this could be very beneficial for these kids. We just got to keep it going, and you know, just financial, you know, it's no knock on the parents or anything, because from my perspective, I think the parents participated wonderfully. Like, I think they did everything they could.
Yeah.
They even came up to Memphis when we played in the tournament up there in Memphis. So that to me was like, wow. Like, they was there, win, lose, draw. They was there for them kids, and they understood that this is their kid. This is their first time. A lot of kids from Elaine, this is their first time playing on a stage like this. So you just bring the team together. Like, I'm there for all that. I'm there for all that. So we looking forward to 2022. We're actually trying to really hit the ground running in January 2022 with my big boys. We might start the little boys a little bit before that. But if they listen to this podcast, I already tell them, because a lot of them call me or text me every day. But if they listen to this podcast, or any parents, just know that, you know, we put the safety of your kids first. So we had to go another direction as far as the gym go for practices, because we were gonna have a championship tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep it rolling. But, you know, when COVID numbers rose back up,
yeah,
we just had to, you know, in that situation, you put those kids first. And a lot of times those kids, a lot of them don't really understand it, because they were having so much fun. They just want to go. Let's go. Coach, can we go? You know,
get ready.
And they ready. And I love it. But, you know, it hurt me. You know, I hate having to get a job now, because
yeah.
When it came to them, I didn't care if I didn't have nothing. Man, I just couldn't see myself doing something else and trying. Like, I have to give them my 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and I've always been that way. You know, I've always been that way. So I just hate that it had to end like it ended. Everybody was looking forward to that championship tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to get back to it.
Yeah.
It ain't over. So, you know, all of them coming back. Nobody's a senior. That's what I love about it. All them boys down there, Elaine, nobody's a senior. Man, there's some big boys. They athletic. They smart. They just, when you're building something, you know, you just got to have all the ingredients. It ain't going to work. We just have the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like standing over that stove. If you're really in that kitchen cooking, you ain't gonna be done in no 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're gonna be over the stove for 4-5 hours.
Yeah.
If you're trying to feed the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the same way with this basketball, with these boys, these programs. You know, we going into summer too. So we definitely looking for you know, a big change in just the way they team chemistry continues to build. Their skill set, a lot of them was getting better. Man, we got compliments from a lot of other coaches and parents around here telling us, you know, hey, man, they went back to school football season already in shape. You know what I'm saying? I said, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. So
Coach Lomax had them working over the summer. Yeah.
That's a great thing for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just the beginning. So we got a ways to go, man. I look forward to it. I'm waiting on summer too.
And I know they're waiting on you, like you said. Every time I hear you talk about basketball, you can just hear, you know, how passionate you are about it. And like you were saying, like, it's been a part of your life for your life. So, and for you to carry that same passion and that care with bringing something positive to youth and Elaine, it's just words can't describe how special and important and needed that is for those children there. So if you could say one special thing about the community of Elaine that you want people to know that are not from there, what would it be?
One special thing?
Yeah, one special thing about the community that you could tell someone that's not from there.
Man, everybody is close-knit. It's like it's tight. Elaine has always been tight. You know, no matter what the circumstances been, is really a kind of somebody that's not from there is really kind of, I think it'll wake them up. That's how I feel about it. I think they'll probably be asleep all the way there. And when you say, hey, we're in Elaine, and just seeing it, they'll probably be like, wow, like, it's a lot of history here. It's a lot of, you know, you can tell them, Google Elaine Massacre, you know, and they'll go right to it, and they'll be like, wow, I'm here.
Yep.
This is what is happening. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, so, man, it's Elaine. It's very special. It's very special. And if you're from there, man, it has a special place in your heart. No matter how far you go, no matter where you at, if you're from Elaine, man, you love your hometown. You love yep. Elaine. It's just a part of you. Mm-hmm. And you can go somewhere and people can tell, like, you're not from here. You know what I'm saying? No matter, you know, where you, if you go to college or whatever, you know, it's just Elaine. It's just always been something about Elaine. And so we've had a lot of greats come from Elaine. You know, a lot of educators. We got doctors. We got, you know, we have some athletes that got so close to pro. Some probably did go pro. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had some great athletes come from Elaine. You look at Vernon Hicks, one of the greatest running backs ever in the whole state of Arkansas. You know, so yep. we've yep. had some great. you can't talk about Elaine Grace though. And not mention Ed Truitt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, I mean, I say, man, that was Brown before LeBron to me.
Yeah.
Truitt was just more of a finesser. But Truitt, man, his style, like he saw plays ahead with the length that he had and the ball handling skills that he had to, shoot, just his ability to play the game. It was just so beautiful to watch him play. I really caught the end of his ball playing. I think I was maybe at the time 16, 17, 18, 19, those years. We used to play at Douglas Court every summer. And at the Army, that's where I got to saw. That's when I really got like, damn, Truitt, that man, that's that boy. Like he's just, and the fact that he's from Elaine just goes to show you that, man, we have had a lot of talent come from our area.
Yep.
It's just a special, unique place, man.
It really is. And to the listeners, I may sound a little biased because if you don't know, I am from the community, the area of Elaine, Arkansas. So I'm very familiar with what Coach Lomac is referring to, the people he's referring to. So, and all of it is absolutely 100% true. We have had greats come out of that community, that small community that's at the end of Phillips County. We have had greats from all fields, sports, medical, out of that small community. So he's right. It's a very special place. So Coach Lomac, with this series, I asked these four questions to all of the guests. So the first one is, what is the biggest issue in your community?
Oh, man. The biggest issue, I mean, my own point of view of it, I would have to say leadership.
Ooh, that's huge.
you have the resources you need right there in that little small town. Everything you need. I assume you have, you know, funding, you know, something. Why not put that in that community right there? That's how I see it. I mean, you got those kids there. If anybody... You know, it's now, more now than ever, it's time to come together and be colorblind. Do whatever it takes, because right there in that community, man, so much community. This whole area, just to be honest.
Yeah.
But that's what I see.
Okay. And And that's an issue. It is. It really is an issue in the community of Elaine. But you know what? A lot of rural towns are dealing with the same thing. So I feel like maybe that will lead into the answer to your next question. What is the greatest opportunity in your community? What's the greatest opportunity?
What's the greatest opportunity?
Yeah.
Man, the greatest opportunity that I can see is it would take someone to come in there and, you know, maybe go for a public office seat or something. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's, I would prefer somebody that's from there.
Yes.
Because only then can you get the real measure of it. Somebody that's passionate about it, and somebody that put them kids first, and somebody that see them kids' potential and use every single resource that we have to get that potential out of them.
Yes.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
If somebody was to come in and do that and say, hey, man, let me get out here and network and see if I can get a restaurant here or get a gas station that stay open 24 hours. Because if you come from Elaine, what are you going to do when the gas station closes at 6 o'clock?
Exactly.
Or whatever time?
Yeah.
It's too early. Mm-hmm. Like, you got people down there that might need to get gas to go to the hospital. You got people that might need to get gas to go, might be in an emergency. You got to get something there. It's been going on. That town been dead for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Elaine mm-hmm. didn't used to be like that.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on nobody's toes. Or if I'm saying something wrong, I'm sorry. But from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
Elaine didn't used to be like that. So mm-hmm. things just have to change. And
right.
it's not a knock against nobody. It's not a knock against whoever holds any current seat down there. It's not a knock against nothing. It's
mm-hmm.
just truth. Like, if you really care about this community that we all grew up in, that we all know, that we all love, and that we all know, we all got the picture in the back of our head of how Elaine used to. Like, that can't go nowhere. Like, it was just too live.
Yeah, it was.
To be where it's at now. Right now, it's too dead. We need to figure something out, get something going, and pump some life back into our community. And all that's going to do is spread throughout. So we all going to be good.
All right.
Man, Elaine, everything we need is right there. And
yeah.
we just need to, man, get together and get to work on it. I don't know.
You're right. It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible. And it's amazing how the biggest issue flipped into the biggest opportunity. So it's real. Like you said, we need leaders that
right.
have a vision for having a community, a town that serves all and puts a priority on making sure that our youth have positive recreation, especially with us not having a school there. So I'm with you. I'm with you. So the
yeah.
next question is, what law do you feel would be beneficial for Elaine or a community like Elaine? Something that you feel like our elected officials at the state level could do for small communities like Elaine?
I would say more like some type of property law, something like that. Like abandoned buildings. If I had anything like that I could do like that, I would do whatever I had to do to get that whole entire property down in the Elaine. And I would show them what to do with that. So whatever law it is for funding,
uh-huh.
that's the law that I would definitely get behind, funding for the youth.
So a law that would make the process faster for abandoned properties, because it does take
yeah,
a long
like,
for
yeah, like let's expedite that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's expedite that process. Let's say, mm-hmm. okay, you got a building here. Okay, let's man, all this technology out here, man, let's get them the best computer system that you can get, and have an instructor there to show them how to break it down and fix it, put it back together, whatever it takes. You know what I mean? So much, man, we can do right there.
Mm-hmm.
So much. So much. So whatever law is that's like, okay, you got to go through this loophole. You got to go through that loophole. You got to go through that loophole. You got to talk to this person. You got to talk to that person. You got to do all you got to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
going
the whole time, all it takes is for one person to say, man, hey, I think that's a pretty good idea. Let me go ahead and sign off on this so y'all can get to work. But you gotta have a heart, and you gotta have a vision.
Yes.
But most important thing, man, you just gotta have a heart. You gotta look at that big picture and say, man, these kids is 12, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let's make it to where by the time they 16, 17, 18, like they, you know, I don't know. I get worked up talking about it sometimes, but
you're passionate about it. That's what happens. This is real for you. This is something that is your life's work, is to do this and to bring this to the children, especially the children from your hometown. So I only have one question left, but we can talk some more after this question. But we have a Rural Community Alliance has a vision for just and thriving rural communities. So communities that are thriving, that offer the basic needs for people, like you were speaking of medical, transportation wise, transit, if that's having public transportation, schools, good education, just making sure that everybody is treated with respect and treated as they should be. So how do you think we get to a just and thriving rural Arkansas? I know the census numbers came out a few weeks ago, and it revealed what we already knew, is that, you know, the population has declined significantly in the Delta region of the state, Phillips County, really in every part of the state except for the Jonesboro area, Northwest Arkansas, and Little Rock. So how do you feel in the next 5 or 10 years that as a state, we make sure that we do things in order for us to have a thriving rural Arkansas? Because Elaine will never probably be a big city. And I don't think we want it to be that. But how do we make sure that it's thriving, that it's still a community that you can come to, live, eat, work, play, you know?
Well, first things first, in my opinion, first things first, the big wigs gonna have to put their differences aside and come together. Whoever is over these significant towns in our area, it's a pipeline. It's a pipeline. It's like, okay, you got, let's say, Elaine, Marvel, Barton, Lexa, Helena, West Helena. Let's just say that. For now, let's just say that area, that pipeline right there. Okay. What can you do? So we just talked about what can be done in Elaine, in the community of Elaine. So, okay, that'll spread out of to where? Lakeview,
mm-hmm.
Marvel, Barton, that area. It's things you can put in place here. It's, like I said, the big wigs gonna have to come together, put their resources together, and see the big picture in order for this to work for the next, to get to where we want to be in the next 5 years, 6 years, yeah. 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to come together and say, okay, man, look, I shot your dog, whatever. I don't care what it is, whatever. I'm sorry. Put this to the side. Man, mm-hmm. we got a total accumulative of 150 to 200 kids that we can say, okay, we need to get them situated. Then we'll start bringing in some restaurants. We'll put a gas station here that's open 24 hours. That way we're bringing in more jobs. Okay. Now, okay, over here in this, what you got over here in between Lakeview and Elaine, okay, let's put a apartment complex here. Let's do this. You got to give them a reason to want to be here or a reason to want to stay.
Wow.
Because yep. Everybody in this area is trying to do what? They trying to move to Texas. They trying to move to Jonesboro. They trying to move out of here.
Yeah.
Everybody, I left here.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I left here.
Yeah.
So it's like we got to give ourselves a chance. We got to give ourselves a chance. We got to give our own youth a chance. We got to stop making it to where, okay, they got to go to Fayetteville. They got to go to UCA. They got to go. No, Helena, what's Helena? You got a whole college right here.
Yep.
It's nothing for you to say, okay, we can bring a JUCO here. We can keep our guys here for a couple years.
Yeah.
And what is that going to do? That's going to pick up traffic. By not making that college a JUCO anyway, or not having an athletic department at all, is causing Helena to lose, man, probably anywhere from $500,000 to $700,000 a year.
Hmm. Wow.
So, it's here. We can, like I said, the big wigs gonna have to come together, and they're gonna have to put them differences aside, and get a circuit going and have a pipeline going. And everybody got to look at one thing, the big picture.
Whew. Man.
Like little baby.
Oh, my
like little baby say, it's bigger than black and white.
Hey, that's it. That's it right there. Man, I have loved this conversation. I mean, like, just listening to you, a lot of things have come to my mind. Like the whole housing issue. I've always, I guess, and like you said, it's freeing yourself of how you traditionally think, because I never would have said, okay, let's make sure housing is in between these communities rather than putting it in one of them. I never thought of that, but housing is definitely an issue. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we say, okay, this is both of our communities coming together to make sure this is happening? That's amazing. That is amazing. I love
it. Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it for so long, these our communities right here in this little pocket, for so long, it's like we at each other's throat like we 1,000 miles away from each other.
Yeah.
When at the end of the day, if everybody came together and said, hey, we need to make this work and we can make it work. Man, this area here, man, the crime would be down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because now you'll be able to afford some quality police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least be able to, and it's some quality ones out there. Don't get me wrong, but there's some messed up ones out there too.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you'll be able to pay a more quality salary. I should say that. You know, you're not going to get up. Well, you do, but who want to get up out their bed to possibly be shot at that day? You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make it worth
the while. It's a qualified person in the position. Yeah.
Right. You have to be trained for that position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least make it worth their while, worth their mm-hmm. family while. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? At least do that for them. Like teachers the same way. I think teachers are severely underpaid.
Oh my goodness.
That's just my perspective.
Yes.
They are severely underpaid. Teachers play a huge role.
Yes.
And if you pay them crumbs, you're going, like they say, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And that should apply to everything. Like you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So if you pay your teachers crumbs, man, you can. But you have some teachers that's so passionate.
Yeah.
Man, they teach them kids anyway.
Yes. Anyway.
They teach them hard anyway.
Pocket, and that shouldn't be the case. They should not be the case.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Yep. Oh my goodness. I have loved this conversation so much. So, Coach Lomac, we are at the end of my questions for you. I just wanted you to have the opportunity to tell people where they can find more information about Delta Kings, about you, like on social media or anything else, any other parting words you have?
You can definitely check out Delta King's Facebook page. You just type in Delta King, go straight to it. You'll have an inside look on, you know, some of my players and some of the things we did in our first stint this summer. And you can also follow us there. And that way, when we get things kicked back off, anything we do, we got some car washes planned. We got some, like we're going to be selling fish plates and stuff like that. We got a lot of things planned, going into summer too. We definitely, are grateful that we're going to be able to start, at the time that everybody else start. We started late this past summer. We started in June 5th. So, and everybody was balling, waiting for that. But this time we get a good legitimate start. We're looking forward to it. So follow us on that Facebook page and, you know, you'll be able to see, meet some of the players and check them out and be able to, you know, stay updated on what we got going on in the near future.
Yeah, and I'll definitely make sure I link I'll put the direct link to the Facebook page in the podcast episodes, details, description. I'll make sure I put that in there. I'll also put your email address just in case people want to reach out and possibly contribute and donate to the Delta Kings and Queens for their 2022 season next summer.
Yeah, if anybody wants to send in an early donation to our basketball club, our youth program, our Cash App is $ Delta Kings. Send it there. You want to contact me directly? My phone number is wide open. It's 870-253-3198. Feel free to text me anything you want to ask me or anything I can you know, help you with. You know, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Thank you so much, Coach Lomax, for giving me your time today. And you take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Representing Rural Podcast by Rural Community Alliance. So I always end the episodes with a power move or two or three, but today is just one. We have had a very good week as it pertains to civic engagement throughout rural Arkansas. It is high school voter registration week, and we were able to engage with student groups in rural school districts across the state to host nonpartisan voter drives in their community. So that was, you know, a really big opportunity for us to engage younger people in the civic engagement process. Also, the 28th Tuesday was National Voter Registration Day. And on that day, we were also able to engage people, adults outside of the school walls, in communities around voter registration, registering new voters, and also passing out or giving information on what's going on with redistricting and some election laws that passed during this session, the 2021 legislative session. So the power move is around the redistricting. So as we all know, our legislatures were supposed to come back this on Wednesday, the 29th, September the 29th, and vote on the map, vote on our congressional map. Of course, with the congressional maps, that's the responsibility of the legislator. The state House and Senate maps, that's the responsibility of the Arkansas Apportionment Committee, which consists of the Attorney General, the Governor, and the Secretary of State. So this week, the legislator was supposed to come back, vote on the maps. Today was supposed to be the last day of this session. It's supposed to be 3 days and it'll be out. But they have yet to vote on a map, to settle on a map. I believe over this weekend, they'll meet more to figure out a map for our state, a congressional map that hits their target of having, I think, 750,000 people per congressional district. a little bit over that 750,000 figure. So they'll come back next week, and hopefully by this time next week, we'll have our congressional maps. So some of you may be living in the same county, and you may end up being in different congressional districts. We'll just have to wait and see. Now will be a good time for you to contact your legislator, your senator, your representative, and let them know how you feel about the maps that are presented before us. I know on RCA's Facebook page and Instagram page, we do have some of those maps. Over 10 maps have been presented. I think they're dwindling them down in each, in the Senate and in the House, on the House side. So to stay up to date on all of this information, as always, you all can go to the Arkansas Legislative website, and you can find that at arkleg.state.ar.us. On there, you can always find the videos to the live streaming of these committee meetings, of when the House and the Senate meet, the agenda, bill numbers, bill descriptions, and a lot of other information that is important for us to stay up to date on, not just, you know, when it's the normal legislative session every 2 years in the beginning of the year, but year round. We need to be involved in this process and what's going on. Of course, this year, the whole redistricting process is later than it usually is, but still, it's left to us to make sure that we make sure that our elected officials know how we feel about these maps and how these lines are being drawn. Until next time, you all take care. Please stay engaged and try your best to stay informed.